And welcome to FreedomBookClub.com's Book of the Month announcement. This is Burke, your host and managing editor of FreedomBookClub.com. We're here to announce our Book of the Month for May 2013 and to remember the life of Gil Scott Heron, who died this month, 2011. This month, our book of the month is Book of the Month is Guns and Violence, The English Experience by Joyce Malcolm, who was interviewed by Gordon Goldsmith and who suggested the book to us. So, thank you, Mr. Goldsmith, for making such a fantastic recommendation. Let's look at the breakdown for how the voting is going. Guns and Violence won with 63.1% of the vote. Let's look at the vote count. Okay, 63.1% of the vote is Guns and Violence. With 29.1% of the vote is Anarchy State Utopia by Robert Nozick. Finalist B came in with, Diary of Henry Myers, coming in with 5.9% of the vote, and None of the Above coming in with somewhat less. Let's go to the breakdown. We had 55.011 cheer for Guns and Violence, 26.027 cheers for Robert Nozick's book, 5.1 cheers for The Diary of Henry Myers, and 1.01 cheers for many of us. We had 63 respondents, with total number of shares of 87.148, and that equals 1.38 roughly votes per share. So that's how that goes down. So, we're gonna look at our review for the Book of the Month, which is Guns and Violence, The English Experience by Joyce Lee Myers. And this review comes to us from David Gordon of Mises Review. Professor Joyce Lee Malcolm's erudite study has changed my view of gun control. Before reading the book, I was inclined to see gun control in this way. Leaving aside questions about individual rights, there is an obvious argument that supports allowing people to own firearms. If criminals know that their victims may be armed, they are less likely to attack, guns to serve violent crimes. The modern state refuses to acknowledge this elementary truth. If people have guns, this will allow them to resist the state, and under no circumstances can this be permitted. The need to secure the state outweighs the desire to halt crime. Malcolm's book has shown me that I radically underestimated the dangers of gun control. Her detailed study of British legislation on the topic shows the real aim of the disarmers. They wish to abolish the right to armed self-defense entirely. The point is not only to block armed resistance to the state, as I had previously thought. In addition, everyone is to be made totally dependent on the state for protection. Some of Malcolm's examples are shocking. In England, quote, merely threatening to defend oneself can also prove illegal, as an elderly lady discovered. She succeeded in frightening off a gang of thugs by firing a blank from a toy gun, only to be arrested for the crime of putting someone in fear with an imitation firearm, from page 184. So, So when you go to our page, our past selections page for Guns and Violence, which is our current selection, you can get the International Standard book number right here, and then go over to Goodreads.com, put it into the search field. It stands out on the highway. Search for it. Like a creature from another time. It inspires the baby's questions. What's that? And then it change it to from want to read to currently reading. I'm not currently reading it yet, but I will be as soon as it arrives. I'm going to order it for our subscribers and encourage you to do the same thing as soon as possible so that our book gets propelled to the top of the bestseller list. That's our hope anyway. Also, when you're over at our page here, you can use Diaspora Publisher to promote the book in the diaspora, which I will do. This is our book of the month for May 2013. Done. RKVA. It ticks each night as the city sleeps. A second's from annihilation. Okay, but shouldn't do that. I'm not going to sit in half days. But no one stopped to think about the people. Or how they would survive. And we almost lost Detroit. Apparently there's some problem with Diaspora Publishers. Anyway, that's the way it's supposed to work. You can join us in the Diaspora on our homepage. It's right here. It's like Dandelions. And then you can see what it's all about. The sheriff of Monroe County had a show enough disasters on his mind. Hey, well, so now we're going to look at our finalists for the month. Was still alive, when it comes okay, we got finalist safety, A, Constitutional Homeland Security, Volume 1, The Nation in Arms, by Edwin Vieira, the eminent Dr. Vieira. Comes from the Gold Money blog. I met these people a couple of years ago when Utah passed a bill that made it legal to tender gold and silver for things like debt. I'm just going to make an excerpt here. In this little guidebook for American citizens, constitutional scholar Dr. Edwin Vieira Jr. leads us back to the rule of law, step by constitutional step. What an erudite, plain-speaking, and eminently doable claim the office presents. This is no guidebook for the rifle-coated Montana freedom nutcases. It is a measured, historical document of the plan of action for clearly reclaiming our liberty and our, quote, homeland security. Unquote, one neighborhood at a time, in concert with local, quote, first responders, unquote, police, fire department, NSFR, but entirely on a volunteer basis, orderly, law-abiding, serious-minded citizenship, just as our colonial era forefathers in the terms of the Constitution intended. After you read this book, believe me, you'll be full of hope and ready to say, let's roll. Just imagine the 4th of July 2010, in 535 American towns and cities, holding an America Again rally to institute the Citizens Homeland Security Association that Dr. Vieira introduces in his masterful book. I tell you, never in my life have I had such hope in the future of this republic. If only people will read such books as this one and actually take them to heart. This book is the basis of the revitalized militia. It is a blueprint for implementing a well-regulated militia in modern times called the Committees of Safety. This was from KBC Jedi. All right, so that was that. And back to finalist Steve. Finalist B is Two Cheers for Anarchism by James C. Scott. James C. Scott is also the author of something about statelessness in upland Southeast Asia, which was a previous consideration of this, but now he's doing a Two Cheers for Anarchism. The 60 pieces about something like that. Anyway, let's check it out. We've got a review from AK Press. He might not make it. 6 easy pieces on autonomy, dignity, and meaningful working place. Two cheers for him. James Scott taught us the term with seeing like a state. Now, in his most accessible and personal book to date, the acclaimed social scientist makes the case for seeing like an anarchist, inspired by the core anarchist faith and the possibilities of voluntary cooperation without hierarchy. Two Cheers for Anarchism is an engaging, high-spirited, and often very funny defense of an anarchist way of seeing, one that provides a unique and powerful perspective on everything from everyday social and political interactions to mass protests and revolutions. Through a wide-ranging series of memorable anecdotes and examples, the book describes an anarchist sensibility that celebrates the local knowledge, common sense, and creativity of ordinary people. The result is a kind of handbook on constructive anarchism that challenges us to radically reconsider the value of hierarchy in public and private life, from schools and workplaces to retirement homes and government itself. So that was our review from AK Press for Two Cheers for Anarchism by James C. Scott. He was a Princeton, I think he's a Harvard professor. Okay, so you got to look at all those monks through that whole thing. Sorry about that. Finalist C is Robert Higgs' Crisis in Leviathan, Critical Episodes in the Growth of American Government. So I'm going to excerpt a review by John K. Williams, which appeared in The Freeman on November 1st, 1987. This is a first-class volume, which in substance exceeds its title. It will prove invaluable not only to people with the expertise or wishing to acquire expertise in American history, but to men and women anxious to understand the reversion in our age to the large, intrusive governments against which classical liberals of the 18th and 19th centuries fought with considerable success. This is not to say that the volume is misperceived if its subtitle, Critical Episodes in the Growth of American Government, is taken at face value. In such chapters as The Progressive Era, A Bridge to Modern Times, The Political Economy of War, 1916-18, and The Great Depression, An Emergency More Serious Than War, the author provides a detailed historical analysis of significant turning points in the history of the United States. Yet, in a very real sense, these chapters serve as case studies of a more general thesis. The government typically grows during a crisis, real or imagined. In a time of crisis, those who normally would oppose an extension of governmental power can be panicked into approving or even demanding such an extension, rather than endure actual or anticipated social dislocation, or wait for the crisis to be dealt with by market processes. Men and women facing a crisis insist that government do something! Professor Higgs tightly points out that, quote, no single standard explanation can account for the timing of the extension of governmental authority over economic decision-making, and that attempts to provide what one might call monistic explanation achieve simplicity at the expense of accuracy. Yet one constant can be observed, that crises provide the opportunity to extend government powers, and that rarely is the opportunity passed by.
10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. You know, the man just upped my rent last night because Whitey's on the moon.
All right, so now we're going to go on to finalist D, which is... Full Asylum by Michael Eisenberg.
Up from the Indians, welcome to pilgrims, and to the buffaloes.
All right, we're going to get over to this one. This is from babyinspace.blogspot.com. It's kind of interesting because the Fabian Society is full of socialists, but particularly here, someone with the last name of Fabian is revealing full assignment, which I learned about at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum in 2000, and like back in February of this year. Okay, this is a mini review. Summary. The economy has crashed again, the nanny state is out of control, and software engineer Gimble O'Hare just wants to do his job. Not easy, given that his boss is out to get him. The Department of Justice has him under surveillance, and one of his co-workers is suing him for sexual harassment. He finds refuge from his stress by indulging in spy movies, an obsession that leads him on an off-the-wall journey around Metro Washington. From the ruins of a once fashionable mall to a psychiatric ward in military hospital, Gimble is on the trail of a dangerous and possibly imaginary conspiracy to steal a presidential election and fundamentally transform America. Michael Eisenberg is a genius at political satire, not just intelligent, but smart. He has a great combination of humor, from Abbott and Costello antics to fighting Rick. It's an absorbing read with fun characters. Enjoy the ride as Gilbert goes from a Gilbert-esque existence to an adventure worthy of 007 himself. So, those are our four finalists. I'll run down the titles one more time. We have Constitutional Homeland Security by Edwin Vieira. Finalist B is Two Cheers for Anarchism by James C. Scott. Finalist C, Crisis and Leviathan by Robert Hayes. And finalist D, Full Asylum by Michael Eisenberg. So, go to freedombookclub.com/vote.html. And this is what you see. Just choose one of the four finalists. Put your email in while heavily weight your vote, and then if you provide any suggestions, that would be good for the club as well. Alright, so, I'm very glad that you joined us this month for our video announcement. Be seeing you.